Man, Instagram updated and they didn't update the freaking icons. That's the one thing I wanted to update.
I don't really see why it's a huge deal for them to have to update to a flatter look.
Such a freaking hippie.
Me?
You're like, no, that's man, they don't need to adjust their branding. They need to be true to themselves.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here smoking the Kush in Phoenix, taking slow-mos of waterfalls.
Please stop that. Please go ahead and stop that coughing so we can begin. Nope, no. I said stop.
Getting it out.
I need water.
Hello! And welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. I'm back with the crack Cultcast team. The bearded, the beautiful Buster Heine. Hey, Buster.
Hello.
The tall, the lanky, the oh-so-sexy Alexi Heath.
Hey, keep the sexy, lose the lanky.
Oh, and the very British Leander Caney's here as well.
Yeah, right. I thought you were going to describe me as tall and sexy.
I thought that kind of went without saying. For anyone that's seen you, that's the first kind of descriptor you'd think about Leander, because he's tall, he's sexy, and he's oh-so-British. He carries.
That's what the dentist said yesterday. You must be from England, but it's still my teeth.
Oh. All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to the Cultcast. This episode sponsored by Cult of Mac magazine. That's right. Cult of Mac is a brand new magazine. We're going to be talking about that. And let me just tell you, if you're one that likes to have some good reading material while you're sitting on the throne.
What kind of throne?
I don't know. I just figured maybe
gold you were right. Throne,
the gold throne. Yes. Perhaps it's made of porcelain. This is a great magazine to have in there. And I'm excited to talk about it because this has been a long time in the making, right, Leander? It's been like a year.
Yeah. Optimized for the bog.
Bogtimized.
Took a long time to get it right.
This is episode 92. Thank you for everyone for tuning in. I want to give a quick Cultcast shout. Hashtag Cultcast shout. If you want one to James Adams on Twitter, he says, "Hi, Irfan. May I please have a Cultcast shout? I'm a huge fan of the show, and I think out of all the Cultcast people, you're the sexiest." Thanks. Oh. Thanks, James. I added that last part.
You added that.
So, Cultcast shout to James. Thanks for listening, James. Let's start with this, Gentry, if you would. Last episode, I kind of alluded to the fact that we were going to have a small announcement in this next show. So, rather than make everyone wait, I just want to get this out there right off the top. We have hit a milestone, and I like to celebrate the small things on this show. We have a pretty popular podcast here, Apple Podcast, thanks to everyone tuning in each week. And we just hit our 2 millionth download. That's with 60. So thank you to everyone who has tuned in, told your friends about us, for everyone that has given us a 5-star iTunes review. For everyone that's set up a Cultcast or set up an iOS device, the Apple Store, to show the Cultcast podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's netted us at least 10 to 20 listeners. And I just want to thank everyone. You know, it's a lot of fun doing this show every week. We love doing it, and we love that so many of you guys tune in and interact with us on Twitter and Facebook. So thank you. As you know, we also have our 100th episode coming up in, I guess, 8 weeks. So we're going to try and do something special for that as well. Guys, any thoughts, remarks on our 2 millionth download?
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Alex?
Yeah, I'm speechless.
You're speechless.
I'm surprised.
He's overwhelmed.
I can't even. It's 2. It's 4 million ears.
Yeah. Possibly more.
That's a good way of putting it.
That my sultry vocals get to penetrate on a weekly basis.
Good use of the word penetrate. Couldn't have said it better myself. Leander, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's very cool. We got to thank all those guys that have been putting the Cultcast on the machines at in the Apple stores.
Yeah.
Without you, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, so thanks for that.
So just thanks to everyone. We just wanted to get that out there right off the top. such an awesome thing to have happen, and really exciting. So, guys, let's jump into it, shall we? Let's take a ride on the news cruise. Who made that sound?
Alex. I don't know.
Alex, there's no boats that make that sound.
Okay.
No boats make that sound, Alex. Let's talk about iPhone 5S and 5C sales topping 9 million in the first weekend alone.
Correct
me if I'm sure that was Tim Cook's reaction.
No, Tim Cook's reaction was, y'all.
Oh my goodness, y'all, 9 million? 9 million, y'all? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think this might be the biggest sales weekend for Apple as far as iPhones are concerned. Yeah,
it was double what they did, almost double what they did with the iPhone 5.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, it's huge. It was massive. This is massive. I mean, I think it took everyone by surprise. What were the pundits saying? 5 to 7, I think it was like 7 was the top estimate.
Yeah, it was around. It was, there was some more conservative, like 5 to 6 million. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People thought it was going to be a bust, but it really blew the lid off everything. Twice as much as the previous one, which is previously twice as much as the one before that. And so
it's also two phones, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's a huge, it's a big boo for Apple.
It'd be really interesting to see the breakdown of 5Cs compared to 5S sales.
They were saying there was already some estimates on it.
Yeah, and
it's
like
that article I wrote, actually.
What was it, busted 5 to 1 or something?
It was like 3.5 iPhone 5Cs, and then the rest were the like 6.5 iPhone 5Ss. Was the estimation, or was it 5.5?
So twice as many.
Almost, yeah.
Two-thirds of them were iPhone 5Ss.
Regardless, huge number. And
yeah, 6.5. Yeah,
it's got to feel great for Tim Cook. I don't know if you guys saw that Business Week cover with Tim Cook and Johnny Ive and Craig Federighi. Yeah, it was awesome. They're just laughing, and it was the perfect cover, I thought, to me, because they've been getting hammered with so much bad press, and everyone keeps asking, is Apple doomed? Are they done innovating? And then they come out and have one of their biggest sales weekends ever, and on this cover, they're all just giggling.
Yeah, right. What else, Warren? I mean, look at the rollout of iOS 7, too. I mean, that's the biggest software rollout ever in history of any software.
Yeah.
Didn't Tim Cook say within the first, was it 48 or 24 hours, that 200 million people had upgraded to iOS 7?
Yeah. Yeah, it's 200 million.
200 million people.
I think the bigger news than that is that Tim Cook is tweeting, though. I mean, gosh, talk about industry shaking.
Oh, I'm so happy about that. So at Tim _ Cook, if you guys, it's the real deal, y'all. It's Tim Cook.
What if his username was Fortune Cookie?
That would only confirm my sneaking suspicion that he's one of our biggest fans. But he would never say that to anyone, right? Because he wants to be impartial. But I have no doubt that he listens to the show. In my mind, I picture him listening to us in his office and giggling when we do our Tim Cook voice. He's like,
his meetings. Right?
Yeah, he cancels
They're
meetings. Listen
for Thursday afternoon.
He's like, can't do the meeting, y'all. Call Cast 93 is coming out. But before we continue on Tim Cook, you guys got the iPhones, right? I think I'm the only one that didn't upgrade.
No, Alex didn't.
Oh, Alex didn't. Right. Alex, you said that before.
Yeah, I haven't upgraded yet. I've been on the fence. I've never had this before, but I've been having this weird kind of like, I don't know, like you're like
indifference.
Indifference. Yeah. Just, picking the dandelion, picking the flowers and wondering if the iPhone likes me or it doesn't.
Real life example, by the way. Alex's room
doesn't like you, huh? So,
it's filled with petals, flower petals.
I don't know. Like I was the first year that I haven't felt the need to rush out and get it on launch weekend.
Okay. Well, Buster, Leander, Buster, you got the 5S, correct?
I did.
And Leander, I heard you got one of each. Yeah.
No, I just got the 5S.
Okay, so your impressions, how do you guys like it? Leander, go first.
I like it a lot. I think it's great. I think, I had a small glitch initially, which is the fingerprint sensor stopped working completely. So it wouldn't recognize my fingerprints at all. And that was a bit of a bummer until I figured out what was wrong.
What was wrong?
And how to fix it. Well, I got really bad dry skin. You know, it gets really, really bad. And it kind of scaly and flakes off.
The iPhone thought you were holding a severed finger to the phone and it wouldn't register it?
Well, more like a big bunch of dead, scaly flakes of skin. The problem was that it got really bad over the weekend. So like when I first trained it, it was my hands were relatively okay. And then, you know, they really dried out over the weekend. And so it wouldn't recognize them at all. And I trained, you know, both thumbs and both fingers of both hands. And none of them would work. I couldn't believe it. But I just went back in and retrained it with my scaly, you know, with my newly scaly skin.
Hey, sorry, guys. We had a little technical issue, but we're back. Leander was talking about his scaly hands rubbing all over his iPhone 5S and how that the iPhone didn't like that, wouldn't let him access the phone. So what were you saying about that, Leander?
Well, so I retrained it with my dried up fingers.
Okay. Your dried up skeleton fingers?
Yeah. You just have to delete the old profiles, right? All the old fingers and then do it with the newly scaly ones. And it's been working great since then.
Aside from the Touch ID, any other major likes, dislikes about the phone?
The camera is awesome.
Was it you that posted, it might have been somebody else that posted that video that person did with the slow-mo video and put it on Vimeo, and the slow-mo actually looks quite good.
Yeah, it does.
I was surprised. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be a gimmick, but I wasn't expecting it to look quite as good as it does. The guy also has some serious artistic talent, so that helps as well. Alex, oh, I'm sorry, Buster, your impressions?
I like it, but to be honest, it's really close to a 5, so I don't really see much point in upgrading if you have an iPhone 5.
Right.
But if you have a 4S, yeah, the camera is a big upgrade from the 4S, but I don't think it's really necessarily a big upgrade from the 5 other than for low light.
Mm-hmm.
And your pictures are going to suck in low light no matter what. So, like, if you upgrade from the 5 to the 5S thinking, oh, finally my pictures, I can take pictures in the dark, like, nah, not really. Like, I mean, it's better, but still it's a cell phone picture, you know?
I'm with you, Alex. I didn't upgrade either. And that's why I'm kind of echoing what Buster said, is it just doesn't really feel like a huge, you know, huge upgrade. There are some really cool features. I think this is the best upgrade we've ever had. But you know, if you're not ready to upgrade and you're not going to get that subsidized price, I mean, for me, the model I would want would be over $600. And for Touch ID and a marginally better camera and HD slow-mo video, it's just not worth the money to me. I guess it's just kind of a personal thing.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing about Touch ID is it's kind of like an invisible feature. You know, you really don't use it a lot other than, I mean, you use it all the time, but it works so well that you don't see it. So it's not like, oh, sweet, this is awesome, you know, because really it's a lot like just you touch your home button. Unless it sucks like for Leander, then you're just left being frustrated with it, you know.
Well, remember, Leander, you can always use your toe as well.
Right.
You can also use other extremities.
Has anyone tried that? Doesn't it recognize any skin structure?
But I still haven't got around to it yet.
You haven't got around to it. Okay.
I heard it recognizes areolas perfectly. So next time you need to unlock it, just hold it up to your nipple and it should just unlock.
It does cats and dogs too.
Does it?
Yeah.
What part of the cat and dog?
Just their paws.
Oh. I wonder if a nose would work.
Probably.
Yeah, right. I was wondering the nose too. Has no one tried that? Someone must have tried it.
I'm sure someone has. I did.
I'm going to try it right now, live on air. Yeah.
We need a post of all of the things.
That's actually a very great idea. all the parts
Buster,
of your body you could use for Touch
Buster,
ID.
We need images of everything. For proof, or it didn't happen. Yeah, I definitely would not get the 5S if I didn't like have this job. I wouldn't even consider it.
Right.
But the fact that I bought my iPhone, I bought it off contract last year. I mean, it was like $700.
Oh my gosh.
So there's, I'm going to be saving, I'm going to be losing money if I don't sell my iPhone 5 this year. Because I bought it thinking that I would be selling it this year, unlocked for a higher price. So I've got to do it, I guess. It doesn't make any sense for me not to. I want a 16 gig silver model and I can't find them anywhere. They're so hard to get a hold of.
They're just sold out everywhere?
Yeah. They only have 64 gig models at my local store. So.
Ooh, gotcha. Those are always the ones left over.
Yeah, I don't want to pay $1,000 though.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is it's such a ripoff, like, you know, for that extra 16 gigabytes.
They've got to make so much. I think I remember Kyle from iFixit talking about this, but they've got to make so much money.
Yeah, it's like pure profit for them.
Well, yeah, the components price sheet came out yesterday, and they said it like basically cost them $19 for $19 more to upgrade it to the 64 gigabyte storage.
But how much from the 16 to the 32?
Well, that's like what I'm bucks? Saying. It's like $19 from the 16 to the 64. So
gotcha.
32, yeah.
Golly.
I mean, the total price sheet on that is like $218 or something for a 64 to get assembled.
Oh, were those the specs for the 64-bit or the 64 gigabyte edition?
No, those were for
the 16.
16, but okay. Yeah, all you have to do is bump up the storage to see.
Wow.
Yeah, but crazy. It's not that much, that's for sure.
The other thing about one of the reasons I don't want to upgrade, so anyone listening to the show for a while knows, we're expecting a lot of new things in October. And new iPad cases just leaked, showing the iPad 5 in space gray. Looks real svelte, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm getting that.
I'm getting one of those. I am trying to decide between that and an iPad mini. I also want a new MacBook Pro because we're expecting those to be updated in October. And I'm also considering getting a new Airport Extreme, or actually the Time Capsule, so that I can do easy updates via Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and then if they do a new cinema display, you get that and you have to move out of your house.
I live in my car. All that stuff would fit perfectly in my car, Alex, you jerk. I just plug the...
There's no use for an Airport Express in your car, so...
I just plug it into my cigarette lighter. Yeah, so I'm planning on spending... I'm planning on dropping, like, 3 Gs.
Jeez.
30 yeah, Gs. In October. I need to upgrade all my gear to get fresh. And
you need a new iPod, my man.
Are you going to get the 12-inch iPod?
The 12-inch iPod?
iPad.
You heard it here first, folks. Breaking news, 12-inch iPod. Which one am I? What are you asking me? I don't even know.
I was just going to ask if you're getting the 12-inch iPad because you're going big this year.
I don't know. You know me, guys. I like to go big. That's pretty much what I'm known for around town is going big.
I like to be big.
Yeah, I do too. So I was like, just for my ego's sake, I was thinking about maybe going 12 inches on the iPad.
Definitely.
Or maybe I could just buy the case, like the shell, and just leave it in like an iPad case.
A lot of people think 7 inches is enough.
Well,
dude,
yeah.
7 inches is not enough, Alex.
I'm not a enough kind of guy.
And
go big.
It's 7.9. Get it?
Oh yeah.
But if they really what, Leander?
how likely is the 12-inch iPad looking?
I there was a new story that came on it today that said that it's more likely, but I just find that hard to believe.
I do too.
12-inch iPad. But I also didn't think we needed a gold iPhone, so I don't know anything anymore.
Well, you don't know what to believe.
it's just mock-ups, right, and rumors. No one's seen any parts or
it's like
cases.
But yeah, no physical leaks have happened yet.
I wonder if we're going to get a gold iPad.
There was a mock-up that somebody did, and I think it looks kind of silly, personally.
Yeah, but we thought that about, the 5S.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying is I don't know anything. I'm not even getting
I don't know what to believe, man.
It would make sense for them to bring the three colors over, right?
Yeah. It would make sense, yeah.
Yeah.
It would
be maybe not for the Mini, but if they're going to keep that philosophy, why don't they just have the Mini be in all the shiny 5C colors?
Right.
Well, gosh, I hope they don't do that.
And put rubberized hold cases on the back.
Here's the thing is I kind of like the iPhone 5C's case, not the case, the backing, the shell.
I do too. Right. Yeah, I've held one.
I was actually pretty really impressed nice. When I went to the Apple Store. I was like, I would actually like the 5C body with the 5S specs, to be honest.
Mm, yeah. Although I still, the silver 5S, I just don't think you can beat it. I think it's the sexiest.
It is very pretty, yeah.
Yeah, it looks good. So it's kind of a tough decision, too, between the full-size iPad and the iPad mini. If we get an iPad mini with Retina...
That's going to be hard for me to make.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that size for me is perfect.
I still got to go big or go home. I still got to be 10 plus inches all the time.
I'll just tell everyone it's my new iPhone. Like in that Jimmy Kimmel sketch. Yeah. And they'll be like, dang, Airfon's a G. Do you see that? Did you see that 8-inch iPhone he has? I didn't even know you could buy those. I heard Tim Cook send it to him personally. The iPhone Maxi, that's what I heard they're going to call it.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to tell people. I'm going to hold it up to my ear and talk on it via FaceTime audio just so people like can see that it's real.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we should move on.
Maybe.
Yeah, let's do that.
Hey, let's talk about, well, actually, before we talk about new iMacs, so about Tim Cook's Twitter page. So he's tweeting now. What is he up to? Let's see here.
Oh, he's...
I mean, he's going up like thousands by the second.
Yeah.
Tim, but my question to you guys is, could he not get a better handle than Tim_Cook? I mean, come on.
I'm sure he could have told, you know, Jack Dorsey or Dick Costello, whatever his name is, to give him the real Tim Cook one. Because
the guy that owns the Tim Cook, the just straight Tim Cook username, hasn't tweeted it in over 1,500 days. So.
Yeah, that's same thing.
Oh, dude, he hasn't tweeted the actual Tim Cook hasn't tweeted since April 30th, like 2009.
It was just some teenager with a lip ring, you know.
Jeez.
You would think that Fortune Cookie could, you know, muscle him.
I'd like to take this opportunity to have all Cultcast listeners go to @AlexHeath and request it as spam so that Twitter will remove it so that I can get it. Thank you.
So you don't have to be Alex Heath?
Yeah.
But that's what everyone knows you as. Oh, yeah. Alex Heath hasn't even tweeted ever.
I know.
He's got 3 followers. What a sucker. Yeah, I'm surprised.
How many tweets has Tim Cook done now?
He's only done like 3 or 4. He's got about 250,000 followers around there, give or take.
Yeah, he's got about 250,000. And let's see what his last tweet was. September 23rd. Thanks to all our amazing customers for the fantastic weekend.
He also retweeted
Conan O'Brien. That's got to be the most coveted list in tech right now, the Tim Cook following list.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's following like Bill Clinton and
iTunes U.
Yeah.
He's following Kickstarter. He's following iBooks and iTunes Movies and App Store and iTunes Music and Nike.
He's following the Pope.
He's following the Pope.
He's following Lorraine Jobs, who I did not know had a Twitter account until he followed her.
I didn't either. She's not verified.
He likes Kings of Leon, apparently, which is interesting. It's the only band he's following.
And he's following Jimmy Fallon. That's cool. I love that all these executives are on Twitter now. It's a lot of fun following them. And the Phil Schiller one I thought was fake for a long time until he got verified because he just never really tweeted about Apple.
No, of course, that made him more legit to me is that he never tweeted about Apple.
I wonder if their marketing people are like seriously combing through their
I feel like
Twitters.
When you're Schiller or Q or Cook, you have more leeway. Like the mid-level executives probably can't do anything. Mm-hmm. But if you're like Cook, you know, he's not going to make a mistake, like a sloppy mistake like that. Neither would Schiller. Schiller's been at the company longer than Cook has. So, I think actually Schiller is the longest executive has been there the longest right now.
How long has he been there?
He's been there since mid to early 90s. He was the only executive I think that survived the Jobs turnover at the turn of the at 2000 around then. He was the only one that stayed. So people like that I feel like have more leeway with stuff like this.
Yeah, he probably does whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's talk about new iMacs. We got some new iMacs released on Tuesday. Kind of a quiet upgrade. Apple did do a press release, but nothing fancy. It looks like they got some Haswell processors, which we were expecting, of course. And any other big updates? Oh, I guess the new Wi-Fi standard AC is also is also included, so that you can use that sweet new AirPort Extreme that you're going to be buying. But other than that, I mean, just some basic processor upgrades. Apple saying they're about up to 40% faster graphically. Anything else that we should call out here, guys?
No, crickets? They're pretty boring.
Crickets? They look great, though. I mean, they look exactly the same. But when I was in the Apple store the other day, I was looking at these things, and I was like, I wish I had a reason to buy one of these.
Of what?
I got one. I use it as my main desktop machine here at work.
Yeah?
I just realized the other day it doesn't have a DVD drive. So I got some software that was sent to me, and I was like, oh, no. How am I going to install this?
Was it sent to you by a caveman?
No, Intuit.
Of course, Intuit puts their software on a disk still.
I didn't even think about it though when I bought it, and it wasn't, and then the one time in a whole year or whatever, that you're going to need it, it doesn't have it. But luckily, I got another machine here in the office that does, and so I did DVD, mm-hmm. drive sharing mm-hmm. over the network, and that works amazingly well.
Yeah, I've tried that a couple times too. It works really well. And it's funny, you're not the first person to say they didn't realize they didn't have a DVD drive. I have a few friends that bought the Retina edition of the MacBook Pro, and they had no idea it didn't have a DVD drive until that one day, you know, where you actually need to burn a DVD, which hardly ever happens anymore, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. But this is a beautiful machine. I don't know why you think it's boring. I mean,
I don't think it's boring.
It's kind of like the 5S, right? And it's got amazing guts. I mean, this is,
it's a great machine.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful machine.
It's a great machine. It's just, it's the same. Like that, it's got better specs and stuff, but there's not a lot they can do with the design of the machine anymore,
Right.
Well, they made it thinner. They've kind of perfected it. This is, typical Johnny Ive playbook, right? Just sort of getting it better and better each time. And even though the improvements are small, like the 5S, I don't know why, people who, like you were saying earlier, people who got a 5 have no reason to upgrade, but that's mainly sort of a legacy of that weird 2-year plan, isn't it? Because you're stuck into a contract. But anyone who's coming new to it, they look at the 5S and you go, my God, that is an amazing piece of hardware.
Agreed. Yeah. Super sexy. Hey, I'm waiting for my thought to come back to me because I was going to say something really profound. There it is. Got it. Hey, with the iPad expected to have an update soon, but maybe not a significant update, and with the MacBook Pro expected to be updated, but again, not a significant update, do you think there's any chance that we're not going to see an Apple press event? They're just going to do a soft update like they did here, put out a press release and call it good?
I think they'll definitely do a press event for the iPad.
To announce all the new features? I mean, it's got to have some significant new features.
You're saying it's not going to be a significant update, but the iPad, the big iPad, hasn't, had like a significant update in the last two updates.
They're both going to be significant. If they put Retina in the iPad Mini, that's huge.
That'll be huge. And then they'll both get Touch IDs, both probably get, A7s and M7s and new cameras as well, FaceTime HD cameras. So I think you're looking at like a nice update for the going into the holidays. They'll definitely have an event. In fact, 9to5 Mac was saying they think they might need two events.
What? Two events? That's crazy talk.
That's just what 9to5 Mac said.
Who said that? Was it Gurman?
I'm not saying.
Gurman. Yeah, two events would be crazy because, here we are almost in October and, the holiday season starts in, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? People are going to start considering buying holiday presents. So, if they're going to do an event, man, we better be hearing about one soon, especially if they're going to be planning on doing two events.
I don't know.
That's completely nonsensical.
Well, I don't know about two events, but I imagine the October event will be announced the next, 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm expecting as well. So, hey, guys, we need to move on. Let's take a quick break and talk about the Cultcast magazine, because that is our sponsor for this episode. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, it's been in production, in the works for about a year, and people have been working hard on it. It's finally out. So, Lander, let's jump to that, shall we? Tell us what's cool, what's new about Cultcast magazine, where people can get it, and what's going to be included. Why don't you tell us about it?
Oh, sure. Okay. So it's a weekly magazine.
Yes.
It's going to be a news-based magazine. So we're hoping to do lots of news and features about, you know, what's going on in the Apple universe. So it's sort of distinguished, I think, from a lot of other tech magazines, which sort of tend to be tips and tricks oriented or, you know, review based. So we're hoping to distinguish it by concentrating on news and do long feature journalism. And we're putting together the third issue now. So the first two issues were free, and it's going to be on a weekly basis, and we're going to charge $1.99 a month for four issues, or you can buy them individually.
Wow, so it's $1.99 a month for four or five issues.
Well, yeah, right.
I mean, depending on how many weeks are in the month, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so I think it's a fairly good – it's a really good proposition. I mean, we're putting a lot of material into it and putting a lot of sort of wood behind it. It's beautifully designed. We've got Craig Grinnell from the UK who's designed it, and he's done a really great job. Very clean.
I do like the design. Yeah.
I do too. Yeah, great. Especially the first issue, that cover was really great.
Right. Yeah, yeah. He's very talented. You know, he's really, really good. So yeah, it's. I'm really excited about it. I think there's a ton of possibilities and a lot of opportunity. A magazine. Yeah. The iPad's really made for reading. It's a great way to sit down with some longer form stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's ad-free, too, right?
Yeah.
100% ad-free, formatted for the beautiful screen on your iPad.
Right.
That's
right,
really cool.
Yeah, yeah, I like it. I'm really proud of it. I think it came out really well. It's, working with Apple, though, and getting stuff in the newsstand and getting apps approved,
We had to change our logo, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah, because they won't allow any depictions of the Apple logo. Any Apple hardware,
Well, we can have pictures of Apple hardware, right?
We would just had to do some promotional stuff for the App Store, and they have explicit guidelines. No pictures of any Apple hardware.
Interesting.
That's weird.
Which makes it kind of tricky. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, some of the issues as well.
We've had issues with Apple hardware already.
Yeah, I don't think they. I don't think they enforce that for covers of individual issues, but for it makes it kind of tricky because they wanted some individual pictures of upcoming covers which they might use as promotional materials, and so we couldn't submit any of those that had anything associated with Apple on it.
So Leander, they can download this in the newsstand app, correct?
Right. So just go to the App Store on your device and search for Cult of Mac. And unfortunately, there's someone else who's syndicating us. I think it's some Russian RSS aggregation service that I gave permission to use our feed 2 years ago because I felt sorry for the guy. So he comes up as the top hit if you search for Cult of Mac.
Oh, great. And he's charging $1 per issue?
Yeah, yeah. I got to go fix that. But the second hit is us. And it's a free – the app is free.
Okay.
But to get issues, you can get the first two issues for free, but to get issues, you have to subscribe at $1.99 a month. And I think that's very, very inexpensive, especially if we're going to pay for, some good journalism.
Yeah, so, finally, we get to pay for good journalism.
we've had some guest writers, haven't we, already? We had Matt Gemmell. Is that the right way to pronounce it?
Yeah, yeah. I thought he did, one of the best pieces I saw for about
really
iOS 7. Review. And that was a great piece so I'm hoping to, really get, the thing about subscriptions is that having some resources, allows you to concentrate on quality.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really want to bring that to the newsstand magazine. There's a bit of a longer lead time. You can look forward a bit longer than you can in the blog, which is very news oriented and very much, has to be react to what's going on at the moment. But with this, we can start, we can do a deep dive. So we're looking at, all sorts of issues of what's going on in the Apple universe. And there's so much going on. We're in the middle of the biggest transition in computing.
Yeah,
since the industry began. And so much is changing and so fast. I mean, there are a million areas that it's touching. And it's a super exciting time.
So you said the first three issues are free.
Well, the first two.
The
issue coming up this weekend. It's going to be a biometric special. It's looking at the fingerprint sensor and all the changes that it might bring.
Cool.
This will be the first paid issue. So $1.99 a month for four issues.
Well, I'm going to buy three issues just for me.
Okay.
So, yeah, if that sounds interesting to you guys, definitely go check it out on the newsstand app. As Leander said, the first two issues are free. And that way you can check it out and just see if you like it. And if you do... subscribe. I, honestly, Leander, and I know this is going to sound like it's biased coming from me, but $1.99 for 4 to 5 issues a month is an amazing deal. That's really inexpensive for the amount of content and the quality of that content that people are going to be getting. So hopefully it does really well.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I'll expect my usual 40% cut. Oh, are we recording still? My bad. Okay, hey, so we're going to wrap up with Tips Ahoy, our new segment where we talk about computing tips that make your life easier and all new faves and raves. But I do want to mention next week, for those who may not remember, it's actually the second anniversary of Steve Jobs passing. So to commemorate his death, we are going to be broadcasting at the end of the episode a really special talk that he did. And I don't want to give away anything because I want it to kind of be a surprise. I had to get special permission to use it. And we're going to be broadcasting that audio. Now, I've listened to a lot of Steve Jobs speeches and, you know, videos and interviews and that type of thing. And this is my absolute favorite. I listen to it several times a year because I found it to be very inspirational. And it just is Steve at his best. And he's describing, you know, how to be successful in business and in life. And it's not very long, probably. Well, actually, I don't even want to say the length, just so no one can even guess what it's going to be. So that will be the end of next week's episode. You'll want to tune in for that. All right, guys, let's do an all-new Tips Ahoy, the segment where we give you tips for better computing. This is going to be the iOS 7 episode because iOS 7 just came out. And, man, I don't know about you guys, but some of the stuff that they've changed I have found to be confusing, or there's just so many new features that it's kind of hard to know all the new features and get used to them. So I put out a request on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast, for iOS 7 tips. We get a ton of great replies. We're going to read some of these from our listeners. And then Leander, Alex, Buster, if you guys have one or two, feel free to pipe in. Let's start with this one from Luke Vallis. I hope I'm saying that right. He says, camera burst mode works on the iPhone 5 4S. Not sure about the 4. All you have to do is just hold down the shutter button and your iPhone will take photos. Is it up to 10 frames a second on all the phones? Do you guys know?
I don't know about on all the phones.
No, okay. It's on the new stuff.
I think the iPhone 5 and the 5S are up to 10 frames a second. Super handy. I've been using a special app to do this, and it's great.
Oh, are you talking about the burst mode?
Yeah, burst mode.
No, burst mode is limited to the 5S.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
It doesn't work on the...
It's a 5S feature, yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah, it's the new hardware in the camera. The sensor is what allows them to be able to do that.
But right. Can you take rapid fire photos with your camera right now?
You can if you hold the button down on the 5. Yeah, does just keep taking photos, but it's not rapid
fire. The 5S has a special burst mode like interface where you can select photos from the burst mode and then it automatically deletes all the other ones.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I still cannot figure out how you go in and find which photo you want out of the burst mode photo stack, man. It's freaking confusing.
I had the same problem too.
Have you figured it out yet? I will take burst mode photos, and then it's like eight burst photos, and it has like a little icon next to it, and you tap it, but it just zooms in on the photo instead of like expanding all the photos. That's my number one pet peeve with the new iOS 7.
Gosh, Apple's
thank goodness this is the tips and tricks section where we can reveal.
You should stay tuned for next episode, Buster, where we'll be talking about how to find the right photo from your burst mode.
The one tip and trick everyone asks me is like, how do you force quit apps?
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Really?
Everyone's been asking me that. Everyone's like, you know, I've heard that one like 3 times already.
And how do you do it?
Well, you know, you double click the home button as normal, and then you get
flick them up.
Yeah, you flick them up. You just flick them up off the screen.
Yeah, way more intuitive than how
probably
it used to be
like.
Done.
Oh, I can't close it. Yeah, I can see why that's confusing if you don't know.
Yeah, much easier to do, but yeah, one of those things that you just may not think of if someone didn't tell you.
Right.
This one comes from Tomas Villegas. I hope I said that right, Tomas. Slide right in the messages, in iMessages, to see timestamps. So this is a cool new feature. So if you're looking at your iMessages and you want to see what time each message came in, you can just kind of like, it's like elastic kind of. You just pull the messages over and it will show you a time when all the messages came in. Super handy one. Joel Jupp said, you should make Airfon's face your lock screen. That sounds like a wonderful idea to me. Arshdeep Chawla says, also, if you make Airfon's face your lock screen, the parallax effect works in its finest manner. I think that's a grand idea, gentlemen. I should make a picture available so that people can make my face their lock screen photo. We could probably get one of each of us. What do you say, guys?
Oh, okay.
Maybe put a little package together.
My beard's looking really good right now.
So. You should just make it like your face is just in the very top of the frame and the rest is just beard.
It's the beard? Okay. All right.
I actually make a great background for icons. Evan Morton says, okay, this is a good one because when you update iOS, this happens sometimes. You know, your iMessages get kind of funky and they stop syncing between devices. So he says, if iMessages aren't sending from your phone after the update, turn off iMessages and turn them back on to reset the iMessage activation. You should also do this on your computer. Sign out and sign back in.
That works for a lot of things. It works for like iTunes Match and other stuff like that. I've had problems. Apple Cloud services just are tricky. So sometimes you have to log back in and log back out multiple times.
Yeah, I had to do the same thing to get my iMessages syncing across devices. And even after doing it a few times, it wasn't working. And then one time I did it and it's just like, oh, I guess it's fixed now. And then it's been working perfectly ever since. So hot tip there. I've got one. So you guys probably noticed that your sounds changed in iOS 7. And a lot of the new sounds I don't particularly care for. They sound kind of Android-y to me. Forgive the term. But I discovered that you can actually go back into your sound preferences. And if you click on sounds, go to settings, then go to sounds. And then let's see here. I think in any of these sounds, pretty much, just click on one of them. You can go to classics. And if you click on classics, it will take you to a list of all the previous sounds that you used to be able to use. Now, I think these have been updated as well. They do sound just slightly different. But for the most part, they sound true to what they used to sound like. Not all of them are there, but I'm sure some people were surprised when they heard their alarm go off Monday morning after the update, and or maybe, what was it, Tuesday morning, and it sounded totally different. And the new alarm sounds were terrible, I thought.
Yeah, I like them.
You
like
do?
Him.
Yeah, I guess it's subjective, but I really hated them with a passion, and I think I'm right.
I know, it's funny they used all the old ones there, but I was getting really sick of the old ones. Did you notice, like, you know, when the years ago, you know, everyone was using the old dial tone, but then because everyone was using it, whenever it went off, everybody went to their pocket to go get their chance of the phone.
Uh-huh.
Then it switched, and the last one was xylophone, right? So everyone switched to xylophone with the iPhone 5.
Was that the do 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 do?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, suddenly again, everyone was using the same ringtone. So this time, I selected synth in the new sounds.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Have you come across that one?
Here, play it.
Hold on. Let's see if my scaly fingers unlock the phone. Oh, it did. It worked. Okay, here we go.
Remember, Ariella's work too.
Okay, yeah. So that's, where are we? Sounds. Yeah, the trouble is you have to call me because otherwise you only get a little quick burst.
All right, well, here, I'm going to play mine. This is the one I decided on for my... Oh.
See? I like it. It's Android-y.
Is that for your alarm?
Well, that's the phone now.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I've been using this one.
Oh, the new marimba.
It's the Sencha. Sencha.
Yeah, I think that's the new marimba, man.
Yeah. It, actually, like I don't use this for my ringtone. You know? I use it for my alarm sound.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hot tip for you guys. Go in there and change the sounds back to what they were. I got one more. Then if you guys want to add one, great. If not, we can move on to faves and raves. So a lot of people don't realize that on the lock screen, you know how it has that little slide to unlock area? You don't actually have to slide on the slide to unlock area to unlock your phone. You can actually slide anywhere on the screen.
Oh, snap.
Which is funny that a lot of people don't realize that, but I actually didn't realize that right away either. I think I did it by accident, and I realized that, yeah, anywhere on the screen works.
Yeah, yeah. So, same with search, too.
Same with search?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean if you're looking at
search from anywhere.
anyone on the home screen.
Gotcha. Yes. Home
screens. Which is like, and it's actually quite a good way to do it.
So yeah, I think
once
it's
you
great.
Get used to it, it's great.
Don't you guys find the hardest part about getting used to iOS 7 is just the muscle memory?
Yeah. Right. Totally.
I mean, you're just used to doing something in a certain way for 6 years, and now all of a sudden they've changed it.
Yeah, but it doesn't take that long to get used to doing new things, to get doing the new way.
I agree, but I still find myself swiping to the right.
Well, it's like trackpad scrolling, right? Remember when they changed that from scrolling down to scrolling up or whatever?
Scrolling? I love it, like, the new way.
You do?
Yeah, anytime I like use somebody's computer and they don't have native scrolling, it doesn't make sense to me now. You know?
No, it doesn't. It's
that totally F's me up. I'm like, right.
That was one of the very first things I turned off.
No, I think you just have to use it for like 2 days and then it's like, oh yes, this makes much more sense.
Right.
I think I tried it for 2 minutes and I was like, this is awful. I cannot compute this way.
You gotta force yourself.
And to add insult to injury, they called it the natural scrolling. I'm like, there's nothing natural about this. Only devil worshippers would do this way. I feel strongly about it, as you can tell. Okay, any other tips before we move on?
No, not really.
Okay. Speak now or until next time, hold your peace.
Keep the show on the road.
Okay, cool. Let's wrap up with an all new faves and raves and faves and raves and
faves. I thought Alex was going to come in there. I'm sorry.
I thought he was going to come in. Yeah.
I really thought he was going to bring his choir boy voice out.
Choir man, thank you very much.
Thank you, choir man. This is, of course, the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then let you guys vote on which one's best on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. So, guys, it's been a little while since we've done this. Hope you guys got some good picks. I found a great one. And does anyone want to go first?
You do.
I do want to go first, actually.
Then take it.
Okay, great. So, I downloaded a new app called 3030. It's 30/30.
By sounds ESPN? Awful.
What?
Nothing.
Excuse me.
This sounds awful.
This is my segment, please. Gosh, rude. So one of my biggest problems in life, and I know there's people out there who have this same problem, is I have a hard time focusing on one thing, right? So you get going doing on something on your computer, right? And you're like checking mail and all of a sudden it's an hour and a half later and you're like, how did I end up on eBay? And you've been browsing eBay for 90 minutes. This app helps you focus on one thing at a time. It has a really amazing UI, unlike any app I've really seen. And basically what it allows you to do is set up tasks. And then you can order these tasks in whatever order you want. And then you basically hit the go button. And you can set timers on every task, so it starts counting down. So you always have a point of reference on what you should be working on and how long you want to be working on it. And then when one task is done, it immediately moves into the next task. And as I said, the UI is really cool. It changes the color of the screen, so you know a new task has been activated. And it's really helped me focus to get things done throughout the day so I don't miss stuff. You know, because like when you don't like write down what you want to do in a day, it's really easy to kind of forget. So that's my app. It's free. It has a really great business model. I mean, they give you the app free and there's little enhancements that you can buy. I mean, nothing that you need, but there's little enhancements that you can buy if you'd like. It's on the App Store. It's free. It's called 30/30. That's my pick for Fave and Raves. Who wants to go next?
Alex.
How about Alex?
Okay.
Excelsior.
Cool. So 1Password 4 for Mac is coming out tomorrow. So I guess when this show comes out today, it came out today. and I've been beta testing it and it is really nice and it will actually start making you want to actually use the darn thing because it has iCloud syncing. So it'll sync with your iOS app and you can store all your passwords. And it's more than iCloud Keychain because people think that iCloud Keychain replaces it, but you can really store everything. It's like it's a treasure chests of digital goodness. Like you can store social security stuff, you can store whole identities, you know, shipping information and credit card numbers and all that kind of thing. It stores anything. So so yeah, super cool, and they're not in bed with the NSA.
Way to throw that last little plug out there. Leander, what do you got?
Correct me if I've mentioned this one before, but I've been Siri. I'm going to go for Siri.
What?
What?
Wait. This is Faves, myself, faves and raves, the segment where you pitch things that you like. Oh, okay. I just wanted to double check.
I would like to pick iOS 7.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad. Actually, you know what I should have done? I should have said that the new Cult of Mac Newsstand app.
Oh, you could still do it. Do it.
Well, yeah, no, I think I'm going to go for Siri. Okay. It, I've been forcing myself to use it, and it's actually really good for some stuff. You know, if
you mean better than it used to be in iOS 7?
Oh, it's much better than it used to be. And actually, I think probably that may be one of the I don't know if I'm imagining it, but it does seem to be a lot quicker on the 5S. Mm-hmm. It just seems to be, you know, it's really responsive, and for stuff like, you know, for a lot of routine stuff like making calls, adding, you know, stuff to your calendar, doing reminders, especially like place location sensitive reminders. It, you know, it really is the fastest, easiest way to use the phone for sure. Sometimes it trips up though, you know, and then it kind of puts you off.
I'd be happy if it were only sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you got to force yourself to use it, and you've got to correct it when it goes wrong. You've got to train it a little bit using like phonetic names. Like, it can never recognize when I say my son Lyle. Mm-hmm. So I had to like put his name in phonetically into his contacts.
Does it call him Lily?
Well, I know it just goes Ryle. Yeah, it goes. You know, it just comes up with some nonsense sometimes. But you know, I've been forcing myself to use it, and have and I think it's really paid off in spades. And now, you know, I'm completely, you know, I never dial a call. I always use it to make calls and send texts, respond to texts, make calls in the car. You know, I think it's really actually, if you invest the time in it, it's worth it. It pays off.
And it's free.
Yeah. Right.
On your iPhone now. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Buster?
I'm going to go with another iPhone feature.
Okay.
My mic just fell off.
There's like a delivery truck.
Did your mic fall
truck
off the stand?
Yeah, hold on one second.
There's a delivery truck backing into somebody's office right now.
Yeah, Leander, is your lunch getting delivered?
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, right outside.
Anyway, slow-mo on the new iPhone. I freaking love it, man.
Have you actually been using it a lot?
Yeah, here, I'll show you a video I made yesterday.
But this is like, an audio podcast.
It is. It is an audio podcast, but
he's holding the video up to his mic.
But no, I mean, I just took it. I just played with slow-mo a little bit, and it seems really like gimmicky at first, you know. But it actually kind of makes your shot, like, if you do slow-mo for like when you pan, it makes your shots like feel really even and everything. So that's like one trick if you're doing photography and you're like just panning over a scene. Just do it into slow-mo, and it like reduces all of your blurs as well. So I think like some of the new iPhone camera features are pretty awesome. Slow-mo and then burst mode, sweet too, for, you know, getting somebody to take your picture and finding one in focus.
Wow, this is actually really cool, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah,
a cool
I just
video.
Shot that, like,
yeah,
one try, you know, and so I was like, oh, that kind of like sold me on it. I was like, that was sweet.
Well, I got to say, I'm shocked. I thought for sure someone was going to be like, my favorite rave is the iPhone 5S. I was positive someone was going to try and do that. But none of you guys did. I'm proud.
I was thinking of doing iOS 6.
iOS 6. Yeah, we know. We know. You really loved iOS 6. okay, well, there you have it. So we would love for you guys to tell us which one you think is best. I actually think I have a chance. I thought for sure you guys were going to like have all this cool hardware you're going to be pitching. So there's no way. So mine was 3030. Alex, yours was...
One password for Mac.
One password. Buster's was slow-mo in on the 5S. And then Leander's is Siri. Look at us. Team Cultcast with all these very Apple-y picks. Go us. No Samsung smartphones. No yeah. Google products.
Can I take mine back and go with like the gold Samsung Galaxy S4 instead?
Wait, you already pitched that, so you can't
yeah,
do it twice.
Dang it.
All right, cool. I think we should go ahead and wrap her up there, agents.
Right.
All right, sure. Let's do it. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. I want to thank everyone from the bottom of our hearts. Thanks for helping us get to 2 million downloads. Such a huge, amazing number. And, you know, if you want, you can interact with us on Twitter. Let the good times roll, eh? I'm at Airfon. Alex is Alex E. Heath. Leander's L. Caney of Caney. And Buster's BST3R. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. Hey, go grab grab your free copy of The Cult of Mac magazine on the in the newsstand, and we'll see you blokes
next time.
Hey guys, you want to do something in celebration of our 2 millionth episode with me real fast before we sign off?
Is it going to be embarrassing?
No.
Okay, then I'm fine with it.
I thought maybe we could sing a little song.
Definitely not.
Alex, Buster, come on.
What do you want to do?
I want to sing a little song in honor of our 2 millionth download. I'm going to sing it. You guys just join in. We are jolly good fellows. Alex and Leander and Buster and Airfun are jolly good fellows. Come on, guys. For we are jolly good fellows that even the Verge cast cannot deny.
Okay.
Hey, sexy friends.
Ow!
What are you doing?
Time for another cult cast. I think that just made Alex hang up.
Yeah, probably.
I actually do think he just hung up. Let's see. Ow! I like alien probes in my buttocks. Ow!